Too bad you guys don't know how to have fun around here. Why don't you kiss somebody, hug somebody, give them a high five? Oh my gosh. How great has the team been tonight leading us? You're the best, the best, the best. Thank you so much. Let's give them a big thank you. What a great night. I hope you know how extraordinarily blessed I feel to be here. I love Pastors Leanne and her amazing husband, Jürgen, and family passionately. Honestly, I know that you know how blessed you are to have them lead you, but they are loved globally. As a matter of fact, we were sitting with our team for women recently and sitting and just thinking and dreaming, who is it that we would really love to have come grace our platform again? You know, she's very popular in demand, and there's nobody top of the list that everybody on our team wants back without a question. Number one would be Pastor Leanne. And you know, it's true. The world wants her. And you have her. Never, ever, ever take for granted how extraordinarily blessed you are. And I don't either. Thank you for being in my world. We love you passionately. And thank you for being here. This is extraordinary. It's Wednesday night. And you guys are here partying. Last night we had the best night ever. Was that South Campus? I'm confused. You guys are multiplying at a rate that's quite extraordinary. But were any of you there last night? Oh, look at you. You're amazing. Double dipping. That's so good. It was the best night, and what an extraordinary word. If there's any way to get a hold of what Pastor Leanne taught last night, I encourage you to do that, because it was so good. And it actually just flows so beautifully with what God had put in my heart, which is, even though if you weren't there, you will just get the sense of God is saying something very unique to his daughters. And these are extraordinary times. And extraordinary times call for extraordinary measures. And the Holy Spirit is here. We already heard even the word of God tonight in teaching us that. And I thought about Holy Spirit to rain upon us, that literally there has been a washing. And I love that word that we heard, that God wants to just purify us because he needs to use us. We need to come forward, come under the amazing, beautiful presence of the Holy Spirit. Let him wash us, preparing us to go be a prepared people. Because when we don't feel washed and don't feel that sense of purity before God, not perfection, but that sense of purity before God, we hold back. And girls, we cannot afford to hold back. We cannot afford to hold back. There is so much at stake. And so starting today, I'm going to show you a bit of a unique photo. And this photo is, I don't know if you heard about it. We can put that photo up. Has anybody seen this in the news? Yeah, so this is a picture that I just found out about just the other day. Please help. I'm stuck here and I don't have my phone. Please call my boss at 210. This is literally, you'll see it's the shape of and the size. It comes out of an ATM machine. So there was a man that was working. There was some work being done on a building. He was going in as an ATM repairman. However, he got stuck in the ATM machine. It was in Corpus Christi, Texas, just a couple of months ago. It was blazing hot outside. He is stuck in the ATM machine. He has left his phone in the truck. He can't get out. And so people are coming to use the ATM machine, and he is literally slipping notes out like this. Help me. And no one is really taking it seriously. I know if someone slipped that note out to me, I'd be thinking I'm on Candid Camera or on one of those shows that somebody's filming me. It's a joke. This is no joke. The dude for 2 hours was stuck in the blazing heat in an ATM machine, and nobody took it seriously. He just kept slipping these notes. He's just, help me. Another one, help me, get me out of here. I can't get, and help, help, help. Finally, somebody finally took it seriously enough, saw a security guard who he starts pounding from the inside of the ATM machine, and they think it's a bit of a joke. But anyhow, someone finally does take the phone number and calls his boss, and sure enough, this guy is stuck inside the ATM machine, and the boss comes and gets him out. But when I think about this, it's such a picture of there is a cry. Messages are being delivered. They're coming at us. But often we just don't take it seriously. We just think, this, can it be as urgent as it looks? And this is maybe a pretty out there example, but I do feel like day in, day out, girls, we are out amongst people. There is an assignment that God has on our lives. It's not about waking up. It's just like Pastor Becky was talking. She woke up that morning. God wants to speak to us every single day. There is a message. There is a declaration. There is a world around us that is perishing, and we need to get up and get busy and do what He's called us to do. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and 12 says, rescue the perishing. Do not hesitate to step in and help. If you say, hey, that's none of my business, will that get you off the hook? Someone is watching you closely, you know. Someone not impressed with weak excuses. Ouch. Hallelujah. There literally is a world in crisis. And I think we're all aware of it. We live in times, you know, I'm 62. And I don't know that there've ever been times like this. The world has always been in crisis, but I just sense birth pangs, if you will, of this sense of God is doing something very special on the earth today. And while chaos is all around, God has sent us here on a rescue mission. And you know, recently we did a series at our church, and it was called One Thing. And all of us who were teaching, it was over the summer, and every one of us, that was all our lead pastors that were teaching, and we were all to teach on what is the one thing. And every one of us took a scripture, took a one thing that we know that God is speaking and that we delivered to our church. And it was a very powerful series. And I still remember I was prepared to teach that day. I was making myself an espresso at the machine, and I just said, God, what is your one thing? Just, Father, what is your one thing? And I felt Him so clearly say what He says all through His word, rescue, get my lost sons and daughters home. Get them home. We are on a rescue mission. And so are we listening to their cries for help? Martin Luther King Jr. said, cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expedience asks the question, is it politically okay? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take the position that is neither safe, nor political, nor popular, but one must take it because it is right. And this isn't just about, I want this world to be a safe place for everyone, and we all have a part of that. But if we are not about the Father's business, which is getting children that are lost across the line so that there will have an eternal home in heaven, then we're misguided about our affairs that we carry on day after day after day. We need to live with a boldness and not with just, you know, being politically correct or doing what we think others would approve of. We have to be bold, audacious, dangerous, crazy women that are willing to do whatever we can, absolutely, to get people home. The ultimate measure of a person is not where they stand in moments of convenience, but where they stand in moments of challenge, moments of great crisis and controversy. The Apostle Paul wrote, never tire of doing what is right. Amen. And that's what we need to pay attention to. What is the right thing to do? Jesus never went for the popular solution. He didn't take a vote and think what would be most expedient for my popularity or what would be the thing that won't offend anybody. He did the right thing. And in this day, we're going to offend people. We're going to not have everybody run with us. The Bible does teach us that the road is narrow that leads to life. And there's not many that walk on there. There's a wide path that leads to death, but we need to get on that narrow path because there's work to do. And so today, I want to take a look at an amazing group of women. Women that I could call dangerous women, crazy women, that were willing to do whatever it took that defied the systems of the day because there was so much at stake and they didn't shrink back, but they came together to do something audacious and life-changing that changed and saved literally a nation. And so their collaboration, these women, these five women who came together, they literally led to the rescue of one baby boy, though there were many, but this little baby boy would become the deliverer for millions of God's people. And I think what God did in that, do we know who it is? That would be Moses. But you know, it was women that were at their post, doing whatever it took to get this little boy to be who God called him to be. Girls, we are so much better together. As a matter of fact, I think we're pretty unstoppable. And so I want to read this portion of scripture out of Exodus chapter 2. These amazing women are all listed in here. And so if you're familiar with this part of scripture, if you go into Exodus chapter 1, it's a very dangerous time for the children of God. If you were Hebrew, there was a lot of persecution and there was a lot happening. And so there was a very evil ruler, much like what we'd perhaps see today in like the Taliban or ISIS, or just evil, evil and anti-God spirit that was annihilating the children of God. And in this place, there was a rising up in the midst of the most adverse times and a rising up of women that stood strong in the middle of this edict that was to kill every little baby boy that was a Hebrew baby boy. But there were women that had a greater fear of God than they had of an evil ruler. And we're going to look at this here in Exodus chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. And about this time, a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special boy, a special baby, and kept him hidden for 3 months. That took courage. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch, and she put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. And when the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. And then the baby sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother, "and I will pay you for your help." Has anyone ever paid you to nurse your child? I just think that's interesting. So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. And later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." The future leader and appointed deliverer of the Hebrew people, Moses, owed his life to five incredible women. This is a story of sisterhood. This is a story of collaboration. This is a story of a cause that was greater than themselves. This is a story of women rising up in a very difficult situation where they literally, every single one of them, put their lives at risk for a greater purpose. And so I pray that you see yourself in this amazing story. These women showed courage. They defied the edict that was evil. And you know, today we live pretty cushy and safe in so many ways. I know, as a, you know, born and raised in Canada, I always think we're safe. We're in Canada. You know, what could go wrong here? I mean, you know, we're Canadian. Everybody likes Canada. And I guess they don't, but I just think they do. But you begin to feel just the safety and this comfort. And then because we travel a lot, we go to places in the world that you feel like it's different. There's a sense of different. But just because everything feels safe does not mean it is safe. We are up against incredible challenges right now in our school systems, in our government. It's a very anti-God spirit. And so it's going to take women and men speaking up and not with the spirit of anger and condemnation and guilt, but a different spirit that rises up. So maybe we're not dealing, amen, maybe we're not dealing with the same circumstances, but in some ways the circumstances are diabolical. They're scary. Missouri, and for children coming up today, it is going to take us rising up with a spirit that is not intimidated, that is not going to be pushed back, that is just going to lie down and say, what can I do about it? No, I'm on my watch, you're on your watch, and we are called to be where we are right now for such a time as this to make a difference right where we are. And the first two women we see here, they're pretty amazing, I think. Their names are Shipra and Pua. Is anybody pregnant and want a name for a girl? I highly recommend them. They're pretty amazing girls. You might torment your child, but Shipra and Pua, good names. These midwives were feisty chicks. They were willing to go against, and they were challenged for going against what the edict was, to kill every newborn Hebrew boy. But the Bible teaches us that they feared God more than they feared Pharaoh, or they feared man. And by disobeying Pharaoh, these midwives protected and saved the lives of Moses and a multitude of other Hebrew boys. Oh, I used to claim this when I was pregnant and going into labor. We heard a great story last night. I think this should come on the stage sometime. This story of delivering rather quickly. I used to say, God, may I be like one of those Hebrew women that just delivers so fast. It's like, boom, there it is. You know, that's just right now. There's the baby. But because of their righteous actions, later on we find in Hebrews how they were blessed and God blessed them for them honoring. Sometimes you think, is it okay to disobey the law of the land? I think it is here. When we honor God above an evil edict. Is it comfortable? No. But is it right? Yes. And I believe in honoring the nations that we live in. But when there is a law that rises up that is contrary to the law of God, now we need to take a stand. We need to actually be bold, courageous women and not be intimidated. And that's exactly, we are not maybe birthing in the way that these ones were birthing at this time and when Moses was birthed, but there are children coming into our care, as it were, into our worlds that we need to create a future for them that is going to set them up for a win and not just thinking that I'm just one, what am I going to do about it? I love that about these women. They were rise up strong women and knew that they had a purpose to save the lives of these little Hebrew boys. And one of them in there would actually be the ones that played a part in their own deliverance as well. Number two, amazing woman, Jochebed or Jochebed. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but there's another great woman. Moses' mom. She loved her infant son and she hid him for 3 months. That in itself could have had her killed, but she did it anyway because she honored God above, again, this evil edict that had been given. And so what does she do? When she couldn't hide him any longer, she makes, as it were, a waterproof ark. And if I think of even an ark in the Bible, how it became a place of protection even on the waters, but how she made this little ark. And I think about what it took to put this little boy in that waterproof ark and set him out on the Nile that would have been filled with predators, filled with all kinds of danger. If it was just even a bathtub, it wouldn't have felt safe. But this was not a bathtub. She was sending him out and trusting God that as she released him, that God would carry him to where he needed to go. And years ago, during one of the hardest seasons of my life, maybe the hardest, when one of my children went through just a devastating situation in her marriage, and she had a little 2-year-old at the time, he's now 10, but he was 2. And I remember reading this story, and as I was reading this story, it's actually when this first started just downloading into me. And God began to just show me that I have a plan and I have a destiny. And so the situation was where their dad had made some devastating choices that were so costly and so devastating. And I remember thinking, here's little Jack, beautiful Jack, innocent, trusting, a big destiny in front of him. And I thought, God, it's hard enough when they're in a perfect situation at home. the most safest. But now he's like, God, he's on turbulent waters. And God spoke to me through this story. And he said, in the same way that I can got Moses to his destiny, you can be sure that I will get Jack to his. And I have stood on that, and I will continue to stand on that. I don't know what it feels like you might have sent out on the water, what you might have felt like you've released to God, and in the natural, you want to keep taking it back. You want to keep hovering over it. You want to keep fixing it, and God's saying, trust me. It seems scary out there, but I have them, and you can trust them to my care. And that was such a word for me. Moses' mother is such a hero to me, as she trusted God in the most impossible situation. She couldn't take care of him any longer in her physical care, but she knew God would. That God had entrusted this little boy. And so she puts him out on the water, places him among the reeds, and entrusts her son into God's care. It says in Hebrews, she's here written in Hebrews 11:23, that what we know is the hall of faith. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given him an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. The next one that I think is one of the most unique parts of the story, and in light of so much that's happening in our world today, sometimes we can be amazed at who God writes into the story. And he wrote into this story, one of the women that was a rescue, part of the God's rescue plan for Moses was Pharaoh's daughter. If we think of the most evil ruler on the earth today, that was, you think about it. Just think, this is not a Christian woman. Yet God wrote her into the story. And she was part of the raising Moses in his destiny. And how brave was she? But she, Pharaoh's daughter, you see, she was privileged. But she was not powerful. Not in the natural. Privileged, yes. Powerful, no. But she was powerful in this sense. She stood up against evil that was even her father's. Why? The Bible teaches us she heard the baby cry. Women hear the cry of humanity. And I'm not saying men don't, but there is something in the heart of a mother, in the heart of a woman that hears the cry of a baby. I don't know how many times our baby cried in the middle of the night. And John just assumed she'll get it. She'll take care of it. They want what she has. And that's true. But at long past nursing days, it's still, mom's got it. Because you just do. You get up. And you just take care of it. There are some, by the third baby, John came a long way and helped a lot more. But those first two, snored through it all. But you know, my dad used to say, if there was a crowd with 1,000 children in it, I always heard your voice. I've always been loud. I've never had a quiet, like, whimpering voice. I'm always like, help! And he could hear me. He always knew where I was. And I think John feels the same way. Yeah, I know where my wife is. There she's somewhere. I hear her laughing. I hear her talking loudly. But here, this beautiful woman decided to take him in. And we read the story of how it was a collaboration with Moses' mom, but then she adopted him. And that's a whole different story. But that she adopted, she knew he was a Hebrew boy. And she adopted him. And so I don't know, I'd love to sometimes roll the curtains back to see what that all looked like, what that actually meant for her, how she, because I know in those days it was kind of dad was probably afar off. I don't know if her mother worked with her in the situation, but God used her in the most supernatural way to bring her into the story. And so because of her intervention, Moses was raised in an Egyptian culture. He was given the best education, the best of everything, which God would eventually use for his purposes to use him to be a deliverer of all of the children of Israel. What an extraordinary story. But that part was important. He needed to know what he needed to know. And God knew how to get it done. And it was powerful and how they all worked together. It says in Acts chapter 7, verses 21 through 22, when they had to abandon him, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him as her own son. Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in both speech and action. Her one act of compassion contributed to the emancipation of literally multitudes. Girls, I want to say something to you tonight. There are literally multitudes on the other side of your obedience. When you listen to God and you collaborate with God, there are multitudes and multitudes on the other side of your decision to obey him. Wow. It's not just you. It's about all the others that are following you. And so the last one I want to mention is beautiful Miriam. She was Moses' older sister, but she wasn't very old. And it's so beautiful to me that she too was a key part of the rescue and the part of the story. She had been standing on the banks of the Nile watching her little brother. I don't know what that might have felt like, because I can only imagine even her compassion and watching this happen and watching the princess come in and her little boy cry. She stepped into that situation bravely, opened up her mouth in front of the princess, not intimidated by her position, not intimidated by all that was going on. She stepped into that story. She became a part of the answer, and God used her mightily at her very young age. History says she was probably about 7 or 8 years old, just a young girl, but she was a part of the miracle. And we know that God went on. She became a prophetess. She was recognized as a leader alongside her brothers. An amazing, amazing story. And the Bible has loads of examples of amazing women who rose up for such a time as this. We know that of Esther. We know that of Deborah. We know that of Rahab. Women that rose in times of opposition and in trial. And I pray here in 2017 that there is a company of women that will rise up and not hold back. Amen. The Hebrew word for helper is Ezer, which is used in Genesis, the second chapter, to describe the first woman. That word also can be described as rescuer. We are a part of God's rescue mission. And Ezer, it actually describes an attribute of God's character. He is our strength, our rescuer, our protector, and our helper. And Ezer was the Holy Spirit's choice of word to describe the first woman. That is who we are, helper. And the Hebrew word kenegdo, usually translated as suitable in Genesis, a suitable helper gives the meaning that Eve was designed as a corresponding companion alongside Adam. Not ahead, not behind, but together. Powerful and strong. And what an amazing picture that God paints for us for such a time as this. So it's critical we get about the business of what God has called us to do. We as women are called to work in harmony. Last night, such a powerful word that Pastor Leanne shared about being harmonious. It was called frenemies. And it talked about the relationship with two biblical women, Hagar and Sarai, and how they came together and how the enemy used their insecurities and their fears. God always saw them. God always called them. But when they acted in their humanity, the story didn't go well. And if we act together in this story, not out of our humanity, but out of the God part of us that wants to rise up and do the right thing, now we can do something amazing together. It's like this beautiful picture of harmony. We sang of the harmonies tonight were just beautiful, especially in the last song, Rain, that we sang together, this beautiful, just the harmonies. It wasn't one person standing up and like, listen to me and let me sing the loudest and be the best and you go way behind me. No, it was together and it's gorgeous. And that's what it needs to look like in kingdom work. In kingdom endeavor is that we have a conductor, the Holy Spirit. Here we are together, gathered together, God. I don't want to be insecure. I don't want to be fearful. I don't want to be lazy. God, what is my assignment? You show me what to do, and I'll line myself up with other women and other men, and I just want to get a job done because it's so important that we work together. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 says, again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. I'm excited about this. Because all over the world, something gorgeous is happening. I believe there is a new day that has dawned. And that it actually is a prophetic song, that there is a new day. And I believe that we can be different. We don't have to be women that are ruled by the spirit of this world. We don't have to be the nasty housewives or whatever. We are not all striving to be on The Bachelor. Pick me, pick me, pick me. You all get a rose, you all get a rose, you all get a rose. But your rose is not from a man, it's from God who's inviting you onto an adventure, right? And if you watch that show, that's dumb. But that's just my opinion. Every time I see people like, oh, The Bachelor's on tonight, and I think these great women of God, I'm like, seriously? Everything I stand up and preach on the feminine heart, that is an absolute, it's diabolical. Just my opinion, just my opinion. And I'm a little passionate about it. Let's fill ourselves with things that actually help us be better at being amazing women. So, what does harmony look like? Number one, we complement each other. And when I say compliment each other, I don't just mean you look really pretty today. Go ahead and say that. But compliment is like work together. It's not about competing. It's about complimenting one another. I want to make you better, and you can help me be better. Together, we're fantastic. We're pretty great on our own, but together, wow. That's what complimenting looks like. That's what harmony looks like. That's what together looks like. It's absolutely stunning. And the world watches in wonder because that is not the spirit of this world. The spirit of this world is cutthroat. It's competition. It's you are my enemy. I have to be better than you. That is not the spirit of God. The spirit of God defers to one another, serves one another, complements one another, makes you better. If I make you better, that makes me better. We're together and moving forward. Secondly, harmony looks like consistency. We're actually reliable. We show up. We're there for each other. We're not up one day and woohoo, we're here, and the next day we're not. No, no, no. To me, the heroes of the faith are the ones that stay on the road, that actually persevere through the hard places, keep going when it gets tough. If any one of these women had flaked out, the job wouldn't have gotten done. They all stepped up. They all carried their part. They were all reliable in the plan of God. And I want to be that woman. I want to be when I'm not just 62, but when I'm 82 and 102, I'm still here. I'm still pushing. I'm still pressing. I'm not going out on a vacation and just leaving my calling behind. I might go on a vacation, but I'm not going to vacate my calling. You know what I mean? When things get hard, and they will, keep going. When people say things you don't like, keep going. Be consistent with what God's called you to do. Number three, we bring balance to each other. There's a compatibility. There's a gracefulness and a poise about it. It's almost like we're synchronized. Not all doing exactly the same part, but part of the big picture. Again, harmony, balancing each other. And I love that because I think of great women in my world. We're not at all alike. I need them and they need me, because if we were all exactly the same, we would not get the job done. We all have to work together, balancing each other, making up for the weaknesses here, helping a little here, but let's get the job done so that we all cooperate well together. We coordinate our joint efforts. We don't sabotage through interference and insecurity. It's not how we roll. We're going to help. And again, the message last night spoke it so magnificently. You are enough. You don't have to take away from anybody else to feel like that makes you better, because you are enough, just you. And you think, but you don't know some of my weaknesses and insecurities. Can I tell you something? We all have them. There's nobody in the room that does not deal with feeling insecure or feeling like they're not enough. But let's just believe what God says about us. We're enough. Don't hold back because you're not there yet. Just go where you are and you'll find everything else you need. None of us start strong. We start with one step. And there's a miracle in one step. And if you feel stuck, take one step. You don't have to be from here all the way across the line. No, one step, but let's go forward. Let's coordinate our joint effort. Let's make room for the weaker ones to come alongside us. Let's take somebody with us that doesn't feel they're strong enough and say, that's okay, I'll hold you up. We'll go together. Soon you can walk on your own. But right now, just like getting on the stage, I can get up here on my own, but I'm a bit wobbly right now. So it's easier. Soon I'll be running up here on my own. Right now I'm not. But I will be soon. And that's how we are sometimes in the faith. But I don't have to do it on my own. There's people here. I had two people helping me. And so that's what it looks like. It's okay if you don't feel strong. We still need you. Oh. The rescue of Moses is a stunning picture of now. There's a cry in the earth. Help me. Help me. There's some in the room here tonight. There's a cry in your heart. Help me. Do you see me? And maybe you're not banging on the door loudly, but you showed up here tonight and it took everything you had to get here. Because you didn't know if you could fit. You didn't know if you belonged. You didn't know if you're accepted. Can I tell you? You are. You are loved and you are needed. There's work to do. We need the midwives, women of strong conviction. I want to be like that. A conviction that rises above what's convenient. I don't want to be a woman of compromise. I want to be a woman of conviction. You know what compromise is? When you settle for something you actually don't believe in. Because you're not ready to fight for what you do believe in. Let's fight. Let's fight and stand up. Jochebed, what a picture of trust. Beautiful trust. I don't know what you're trusting for tonight. I'm sure all of us have something we're trusting God for. And for some of you, what you're trusting for feels too big. But can I tell you, we'll stand with you. You don't have to trust on your own. But that's going to take vulnerability and trust, where we don't just try to do this on our own. I have somebody in my life right now who got a pretty nasty report from the doctor. It's one you don't want to hear. And she's saying, but don't tell anybody. She wants me to know, but she doesn't want anybody else to know. She wants to do it on her terms. And I'm like, okay, that is your call. But if I were, I said, you know what I'd do if I were you? It's your call. I'd call everybody I knew how to pray and that I knew that I could trust and I would tell that story to. But there's fear and fear of what if. And I just think when you're standing alone and outside of doing it God's way, you feel very alone. There's a beautiful place of coming in. You don't tell the world, but you can tell safe people in your world, and we all need them. And then I love Pharaoh's daughter. She listened to her heart. What's your heart telling you? What is it asking you to do? The Bible says, pay attention to your heart in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, because it will determine the course of your life. Listen to your heart. You know, Pharaoh's daughter was a woman of great faith. And like I said, she was privileged, but not powerful in the natural. But what made her powerful was because she listened to her heart and was written into this amazing story. And then beautiful Miriam, she demonstrated a protective heart. And though she was young, she's written into the story because we need everybody on the page, everyone. And so, I'm going to pray in a moment. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says that we are the product of his hand, heaven's poetry etched on lives, created in the anointed Jesus to accomplish the good works God arranged long ago. Do you know how God already knows how to get you to where you need to go? But we're not going to do it alone. We're going to do it together. And there's a lot of work to do. I wonder if I can ask, I've seen a couple of, I see Zoe's up here, she's watching something online, but that's okay. Can I ask you to come up here with me for a moment? I promise I won't make you sing and dance or anything. Can I get you to come up here? Anybody? No, it's okay. There's another little girl. I know she's not. Sophie, where's Sophie? You don't have to, honey. You don't have to. I know you want to. I could see that on you. And is there anyone in the room that's maybe 70, 60-something, 70. Am I the oldest woman in the room? It's okay. Come on up here. You're so beautiful. And let me get someone who's about 25. Come on. Here you go. Come on up. Very good. Let's just stand together. It's a sisterhood. We need someone that's young enough to hear and to step into the story. And we need to invest into this generation, which you do so well. But don't just let them walk by you. Pay attention. Speak into their lives. Call what's in them out of them. We all need it. We need a 25-year-old, a stunning, beautiful 25-year-old, this amazing season of life, of the world before you, lots going on. You're right at that cusp. So many that I think that feel lost at your age. They feel lost. They're looking at the world, wondering what their part is, and feel what you heard growing up and what I heard growing up is very, very different. We need, but you need to hear. But you need to hear from the wisdom of the mamas in the house. Yeah, we need each other. And so wherever you are in this story, I want to invite you to play your part and to not hold back, because we need you. And the enemy might have told you you're disqualified. He's a liar. You tell the devil, not today. You tell him that I'm going to step up. We're going to pray, and you can just stay up here and pray with us. But I want to invite you, each one of you, to close your eyes for a moment. And then I'm going to ask those of you who are brave enough in this room to stand up. If you feel like you've been out of the game, you've been sidelined, and you know it's time to get up and re-enter and get involved in this journey and in the fight, which it's a good fight because we win it. If that's you, I want to invite you to bravely stand up at your seat. There's no shame. But I feel like today you got to step across the line and say, I'm not staying here. I'm moving on. There is places for me to go and things for me to do. And if that's you and you've been holding back, just as eyes are closed, heads are bowed, go ahead and stand up in this room, because I want to pray for you. There is an anointing in this room to just push you forward and propel you into position, as it were. Anyone else, quickly? I know there's a lot more. There's no shame in standing up. It would be sad if you stayed sitting if you know you should be standing. We're not going to shame you into it, but we want to encourage you into it. Anybody else before I pray? Let's stand up. Okay, let's all pray together. Let's pray together. Dear God, we come to you today, and I thank you, God, for this time right here, right now, and what you are doing here on this part of the world. God, I thank you that this is a time like no other, where your daughters need to be awake and alive to what you've called them to. And Father, I thank you for everyone brave enough to stand up. And for those not brave enough but know that they should, Father, we speak to their hearts as well. And Father, we just say, go forth in Jesus' name. We say, enter into all that God has for you. No holding back, no second guessing, but rising up strong for such a time as this, making a difference in this world. And I thank you, God, that there literally are multitudes and multitudes on the other side of this choice today. Thank you that they are ones that will break forth into new territory, taking new land for the purpose of the kingdom, not afraid, not intimidated, but rising up strong for such a time as this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a big clap. You can take your seats. Thanks for coming up here. Thank you. You're so beautiful. One more thing, if you could just bow your heads one more time. The most important question still needs to be asked. Just bow your heads. I don't know where you are in relationship with Jesus tonight, but life really doesn't begin until you give your life to him completely. No holding back. As a young girl, I gave my heart to Jesus, and I walked with him closely, and then I went into, just started doing my own thing and wandered further and further away from him, until I found myself so out of alignment with what God had for me and for my life. And there was a day that I came back to Jesus and I said, Jesus, from this day forward, I make you not just my Savior, but my Lord. You have your way. You lead my life. And that was the best decision I ever made. So you may be here tonight and you have never invited Jesus to come and be your personal Lord and Savior. You're doing it on your own. Or you might be here and you know there's a distance now between you and God. It's not what it used to be. It's not what it could be or should be. And I just want to pray for you tonight. If that's you and you say, Helen, pray for me, I want to give my heart to Jesus today. Or if you say, I want to come back to Jesus today. And just in the sacredness of this moment, we want to support you. If that is you and you say, Helen, pray for me, I want to give my heart to Jesus or come back to him, we just raise your hand high for me so I can see it. I just would love the privilege. I see hands, fantastic, beautiful hands everywhere. Everywhere. Beautiful. Amazing. We want to come alongside you tonight and pray for you. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. That's me too, Helen. Fantastic. You're not alone. Tonight's a great night. As a matter of fact, why don't we just all stand up together? And I'm going to pray for you. And those that raised your hands just now, if you would be so brave to come and meet me at the front, be bold, step into this, just come and meet me here. You think, oh, I didn't think I was going to do that. Well, you know what? Why not? You're in the safest place ever. If you brought a friend, bring her up here as well. Beautiful. Come on, everyone. Look at you. God's got a plan for your life. Come on up here. Beautiful. I'm in. Anyone else? Come on. Best decision you'll ever make in your entire life is to give it all to Jesus. No more doing it your way. Let's do it God's way. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on up here. Any others? Beautiful. All right. God bless you. Anyone else want to come? There's time. It's all about you right now. We love you. We have prayed for you. All right. Look how gorgeous you are. You know what? What a time to give your heart to Jesus completely. You don't have to wait any longer. Just today, give it all. And he's been with you every step of the way. I know you feel like you've done it on your own. I feel like it's been hard, but God's got you. And your days ahead are great. Awesome. Awesome. Can we all pray together? I want to invite all of you to pray along because we're going to stand alongside our sisters today because that's what we do, right? Let's all pray this together. Say, Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you have called me to walk in relationship with you. Thank you that as I come to you today and ask you to be my Lord and my Savior, as I ask you to forgive me of everything I've ever done wrong, that you meet me right here and that you come to live in my heart forever. Thank you, God, that I will have an eternity with you and a glorious life with you here on earth. Today, I thank you that I am a Christian, a believer and follower in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let's give a great big clap. Fantastic. God bless you. Do you want to do the take it from here? I'm not sure.
Can we, we're going to be following our friend Jade over here. Can we give all these ladies a huge... What a night. We're celebrating you. The best decision you can ever make. We're going to walk with you, journey with you. Oh, girls, what a word. What a word. I was jumping out of my skin on the front here. There's a reason Helen's our favorite. She literally brought such a beautiful word to launch us into 2018. You know, I just knew, I felt the Lord speak to me and tell me that Helen was going to bring a prophetic word to us that was going to blow our socks off. And that's what happened tonight. And I am so excited to sow into this soil. I'm telling you, that word rescue, it is literally the cry of humanity across the earth right now. Sons and daughters being reunited with their Heavenly Father. And you know, I know that the church has talked about the last days for a long time. It's like we're in the last days, and they've been saying that forever. But I feel like we're in the lastest of the last days. The lastest of the last. Okay. So time is kind of running out. And I felt the Lord speak to me just recently at a women's conference I attended. And he said, Leanne, this next year, I want you to make sure you sow in your own field. Sow in your own field. So I canceled a lot of things to make sure that I'm going to be spending the majority of my time in San Diego with my church family, in my city, praying for my city, with my family, sowing in my own field. Because God wants to bring about a harvest in our city. I'm so convinced of it. And, you know, we have a cherished prayer meeting that happens every Thursday at our north location, our central location, and our south location. On November 8th, there is going to be a protest where people come together and they scream into the sky because they're still a bit upset about the election results. Okay. Now, look, if you're going to do that, I feel like it is my civic duty to make fun of you. But to more than that, but what a privilege you and I have that we can pray. We don't have to scream into the sky over our distress, but instead we can call upon the name of the Lord. Because he hears us when we pray. And if we want things to shift on earth, we have to pray to our God in heaven, because what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. When we pray, all of heaven backs us up. So I'm telling you right now, girls, next year is going to be a significant year. Helen, there is just so much I want to say, because that was so spot on. Like, I can't even tell you. But I don't want to miss this opportunity. I want to be obedient to what the Lord's telling me to do. There are women here today. In fact, if you wouldn't mind just sitting down. Those of you that are 49 and over, stay standing. Stay standing if you're 49 and over. I don't want to expose you, but I'm just going to go ahead and... God is going to do something significant in this age group. And there are many of you who have been struggling, thinking, I don't belong. I don't belong. I watched an amazing movie called either The Intern or The Internship with Robert De Niro. Okay? And it was like this young millennial hipster crew that were like kicking goals in the marketplace. And they thought they'd have this really cute idea to bring in a senior citizens kind of internship. They hired Robert De Niro and he revolutionized the place. And there are giftings laying on the inside of every woman represented here that are lying dormant. And I'm telling you, not by might, nor by power, nor by the hand of man, because it's the Lord who opens doors. It's the Lord who promotes. Promotion does not come from the east or the west. It comes from the Lord. And I want to tell you today, God sees what's in you. And in these last days, God is going to utilize the gifts that are on the inside of each and every single one of you. Pastor Helen, would you come? Just stand here. And I just want you to pray. I just felt like you carry an anointing that I would really like just blessed over our women here that are, you know, in like heading into that season of life, because we need you. We need you. We desperately need you. And I don't know, even though the goal of the church is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that we've ever really walked together well generationally. But I think now is the time, more than ever, now is the time that we get it right. So would you pray over these women?
Father, I thank you. This is a rise up moment. God, that right now eternity is being touched. And God, I pray that not one would shrink back from this time and their purpose in life. Father, where you've positioned them, Father, as grandmothers, as wives, as women in the marketplace, as single women that have risen up, God, in this time, God, I pray that the gifts and the callings on the inside of them will right now go from strength to strength and from glory to glory. Father, your pathway grows brighter and brighter and brighter with every new day. We come against every lie of the enemy. We come against every stoppage in the name of Jesus. We declare that there is a vitality, not just even in their physical body, but in their spirit, that there is a fruitfulness. And God, that this season would be the season of the greatest harvest that they have ever seen, beyond their wildest dreams and expectations. Father, I thank you that it will be an Ephesians 3:20 season for their lives, above and beyond their wildest dreams and imaginations. And Father, I declare there are some of you in here today, ladies, that you think, what if my husband doesn't go with me? What if my family doesn't understand? I speak strength and conviction over you, not a fear of the unknown, but a resolve to press into those places with a holy conviction and a holy reverence and fear for you, God. Thank you that they're rising up strong. Thank you for the stories that will be written over their lives, and the best days are yet to come. We declare it to be so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Give God a shout. Give God a shout of praise. We add our amen to that word. Lynette Clark, Naomi, stand up and hold hands. Mark my words, and I'm a woman of my word. These two women are going to preach a message in our church in the very near future. You're going to do a service, and you're going to do a service. Write the message. Write the message. There is a message that God wants to bring to His church through each of you. They're going to be different. Wow. Lynette, you're going to bring teaching. You're going to bring a word of the Lord that is going to shift and shape people. Naomi, you're going to bring the heart of the Lord towards His kids. You're going to bring and unleash a spirit of evangelism. So the two of you, I want you to go home. I want you to write that word. And when that word is done, I want you to tell me, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to share it to the entire church. Okay? And I got some witnesses here, and I'm excited to see it happen. Who else did I see up there? My beautiful prayer warrior, where are you? There in the pink, stand up, my beautiful friend. I love you so much. Jen Shipper, faithful prayer warrior. I'm telling you today, God is going to speak to you in the night watches, Jen. He's going to continue to give you even greater clarity in the words that He speaks to your heart. And there are literally women in this building that God is going to wake you up to pray for, and He's going to give you a word, and that word is going to be so detailed. They're going to say to you, you must have some insider information, and you'll say, yes, I do. The Holy Spirit spoke to me about your situation. And not only are you going to give them a detailed account of what they're going through, you're going to give them the strategy of the Lord to get themselves out of whatever crisis they may be in. And you're going to teach other people how to pray. And I teach other because you're an intercessor. And sadly, there are a dying breed, but God is raising up intercessors like never before. And I hear the Lord saying that He's turning up His harvest, combine harvester machine, the thing that they use to bring in the harvest. That is being turned up, and God is literally going to get you to prophesy through your prayers. Trish Steensma, for you today, my friend, new levels of wisdom, like the wisdom of Solomon. And you will surprise yourself at the counsel you begin to give, because you have been obedient to step out and actually be faithful and be a good shepherd. Listen, we talk all day long about leadership, but people don't want a leader, they want a flipping shepherd. And I'm telling you today, God is raising up shepherds in the house here at C3 San Diego. Shepherds know how to lead. That's a great thing. The good shepherd leads beside still waters. So God is going to give you a shepherd's heart, and out of that shepherd's heart, because you love people, you're going to give good counsel that is going to set them free. Glory, hallelujah. If you think you're too old, you're being deceived right now, because I'm telling you, God has amazing things He wants to do through you. We're going to sow today. My gosh, in good soil, believing God for a harvest, not only in our personal lives financially, but also in our city. Don't you want San Diego to be saved? Oh, one day we're going to stand before God and He's going to say, what did you do with your time in the city I placed you in? You were an Esther, born for such a time as this. Did you intercede with your life? Did you intercede with your prayers? Did you intercede with your finance? So let's sow today. I'm ready to sow. Amen.